This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
5 minutes after 12 is the time, and I will not be taking any questions about Freudian slips, OK? Just so that we're all clear on that. I will, however, be taking questions on pretty much any other subject under the sun, because this is Mystery Hour, your weekly opportunity to achieve the sort of satisfaction not ordinarily available anywhere else on your radio dial. If you're new to this feature, then you should know, very simply, that if you have a mystery, and by that I mean a question to which you know there must be an answer, you're just struggling to find out what it is, your curiosity has been pricked, but your satisfaction has not yet been delivered, then the number you need is 03456060973. And somebody else listening to the programme will know the answer to your question, and they'll ring in with it and hopefully achieve a Mystery Hour round of applause. And if their qualifications for answering the question scale dizzying heights of appropriateness, they may receive the finest honour available anywhere on British radio. 6 minutes after 12. Give me a call then. What is your question? You have, I mean, really anything goes. It's a feature that invites you to ring in and ask anything you want about the world around us. I mean, it can be silly, it can be scientific, it can be serious, it can be lighthearted. It can even occasionally be heavy-hearted. The point is that you're not allowed to look anything up if you answer it. If you're going to answer a question, the rules really refer only to people answering questions these days as opposed to people asking them. We have a sort of residual resentment of questions about motoring, but to be honest with you, that was born of my own failings as a human being when this feature was started, when my very, very late arrival at being able to drive kind of made me sneery about people who are obsessed about cars and motoring. In retrospect, I was being a bit of an idiot. I could be presenting Top Gear now if I'd sorted myself out a little sooner. All right, maybe not. But the point is this. Repetition is our enemy, but we're not massive on repetition because it's been going on for so long we can't remember everything. And the people answering questions need to be drawing upon their knowledge. 03456060973 to answer the question. So I say to you, what are your qualifications? You say to me, I have a PhD in applied mathematics, or I saw it on the telly last night, James. It was on Mythbusters or something like that. The point being that there are no real regulations for qualifications. It's simply a way of establishing why you know what it is that you know and whether we are persuaded that your answer is therefore definitive. Are we clear? Is there anything else? If you're new to it, you can just have a listen and work out just how wide open the goalposts are. Who, why, what, where, when, whither, wherefore? 03456060973 is the number that you need. I think we'll just crack on, shall we? We could all do with a little bit of light relief with the skip fire that is modern British politics, and that's not going to get any better anytime soon. 8 minutes after 12 is time. Richard is in Beverley. Richard, what would you like to say?
Hi, James. Big fan of the show. I just want to know, do magnets get weaker when applied to bigger objects?
What, you mean if you stick a magnet on a massive car, will it run out of magnetism faster than it would if you stuck it on a tin can?
Correct, yeah.
Well, I mean, you'd think not, wouldn't you? I mean, it's not, magnetism doesn't, it's not, it doesn't do osmosis, does it?
I don't know.
Whoa.
I don't know.
Blimey, Keith's on form today. Is that still, it's still in place, is it? That algorithm, I had no idea. I don't think it doesn't leak, magnetism doesn't leach out. So, no. And do you know how I know?
How do you know?
Because if you stuck a magnet on something, right, it would never fall off.
Correct.
So if it were diminishing in magnetic power, according to any other variable, be it time or size of object magnetised, then at some point it would fall off, wouldn't it? No, I'm not
That's
sure.
That's true.
I'm not sure.
No, but if you had a battery, the way I'm coming at this is, if you've got a battery and you try and run something that's too big off the battery, the battery won't power it. A magnet is a given size object. How come it doesn't get weaker?
Well, because it's full of electricity. Because magnetic energy is not the same as, or magnetism is not electricity, is it?
Fair enough, James.
You don't charge up, well, you kind of do. Do you know, I'm coming across as mildly condescending, which is obviously very rare for me, when I condescend to a questioner on Mystery Hour, almost always it's me that ends up looking stupid by close of plate. And Keith's got that look on his face, Richard. I've got to tell you, Keith's got that look on his face. He thinks I'm sounding stupid. He's just nodded. I think you might be right. Yeah, I think you might be all right on this one. I'm putting it on the board. Do magnets get weaker when applied to stronger objects? I think if I were Richard, I probably would have shortened it. Do magnets get weaker? And then it's a yes-no answer and we bring in the why. So I'm sticking to my guns on the size of the object bit of it and my explanation that if magnets did get weaker in that way, then surely at some point they'd fall off the thing they were stuck to. We shall see. And it's a perfect opening question because it's sort of got a bit of everything, hasn't it? Science, silliness, sneering, condescending presenter. It's like a bingo sheet of brilliance. Katrina is in Edinburgh. Katrina, what would you like to say?
No, it's Gabriella, actually.
Oh, well,
anyway,
sorry. No, I've already used up all my Gabriellas for this week. I need a Katrina.
Katrina's my daughter and she's rung me in the past.
I've got quotas, Gabriella. I've got quotas. I need another Katrina to keep my quotas up this week.
Oh, God.
Gabriella. Gabriella is in Edinburgh. Question or answer, Gabriella?
Question.
Yes.
Why don't birds, you know the phrase birds on a wire?
You know,
like you'll see birds on electricity wire.
Is it a phrase or is it a Leonard Cohen song?
It's why don't they frazzle? Why don't they fry up? Because when I was a kid, I was told never run a kite underneath a cable, you'll fry.
And there's your answer, you see.
Well, why don't they fry?
Because they're not earthed.
Ah. Oh.
And if you had a string attached to the bird's foot and you were holding the string on the ground, then you'd both fry.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank
you know, Gabriella,
yes.
It's not often, and I hesitate to say this out loud because it probably will involve a large slice of humble pie arriving in the studio imminently, but I very, very rarely get the opportunity to sound knowledgeable about anything remotely scientific, so I'd like to thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Today's your day.
Today's
well
my day. Round of applause for me. And by the way, don't forget to give our best to Katrina, will you?
I will do.
Thank you very much. There we go. Gabriella. Thank you. I think there might be something wrong with my screen at this point. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that your name, line one, is not actually Dewsbury. That's probably where you're calling from.
It is where I'm calling from, yeah.
And your name is?
Jonathan.
In Dewsbury, yeah. not Dewsbury. That would be quite a nice name, Dewsbury. Could catch on that. Imagine if David and Victoria Beckham had conceived their youngest in Dewsbury. We'd have Dewsbury Beckham instead of Brooklyn Beckham. Question or answer, Dewsbury? Jonathan?
Question.
Carry on.
Well, I'd like to know where the modern game of chess came from. I really enjoy playing chess. Now, I believe it's linked to a game that either is or was played in India. But the modern game we know has sort of medieval qualities about it.
Oh, I think it's older than that. Have you heard of the Lewis chessmen?
I haven't, no.
Oh, mate. Well, two things. Number one, brilliant thriller by... it's Peter May, I think, wrote it, and the Lewis chessmen feature in it. Peter May's books are all brilliant. I've got a massive thriller recommendation to drop before the end of the show today. Don't let me forget, Keith. but they found ancient chess pieces on the Isle of Lewis,
wow.
and I think it was Vikings that brought them over, which would predate pre-medieval. So I think that's going to be close or involved in the answer. But I love the question.
Yeah,
I really love
the question.
Well, we've got to be able to get an answer. Origins of the game of chess. Most things originate in the East, but I think that one's Northern Europe. We'll find out. Great question, Jonathan. Can we adjust the record so that I don't call him Dewsbury next time he rings in, please? Thank you very much. 12:14 is the time. Where does the modern game of chess originate? And do magnets get weaker according to the size of the metal thing what they are stuck to? 0345 6060973. And just forgive me for polluting Mystery Hour with news, but I one of the journalists that I respect most in the world has added his thoughts to that European Union legal action announced earlier. I think we fell foul a bit. I think I might have fallen victim to live-itis. Because it broke just as I came on air, I may have got a little bit more excited than perhaps I should have done. Because Pete Foster of the Financial Times, one of the very few people on the planet to whom I bow when it comes to understanding and knowledge of Brexit, has responded by saying, it seems like a meh holding move to me at first blush. The UK needs to reply in a month, by which time we know We don't know deal stroke no deal either. UK will have to drop clauses to her deal through EU Parliament. It's a holding play that satisfies EU honour, as I see it. Johnson would be wise not to milk it. We shall see. It's 12:15.
This is LBC. Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
17 minutes after 12 is the time. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC, where Mystery Hour continues. Noah is in... It's quite funny, that. Good luck getting your quotas for people called Dewsbury to ring in. Thank you, Fraser. Good work. Paying attention. We should give prizes for people who are paying attention above and beyond the call of duty. Noah's in Peterborough. Noah, question or answer?
Hi, it's an answer, James.
Carry on.
It's an answer to the question about magnets.
Yes.
And the answer is that magnets do lose their magnetic pull over time, but it's not a consequence of how big the thing that the magnet is attached to is.
Ah, yes. So, yes. So I was right and wrong.
Sort of, yeah. You could put a magnet on a fridge, or you could put a magnet on, like, an aircraft carrier, and they would both eventually fall off, but it's not a consequence. The one on the aircraft carrier wouldn't fall off soon.
Any sooner. And this is because the magnet isn't doing any work, where work is force times distance.
No, the way the magnets work, it's a consequence of the atoms aligning towards.
Hang on a minute. I'm going to listen to your answer properly. I just need to put my hands up and say, sometimes when I've got absolutely no idea what's going on, I read out a tweet from someone else that looks clever in the hope of passing it off as my own understanding. And may I just thank you for knocking my nonsense, which I'm going to blame on Doug, because that's whose Twitter account I got it off, and he's got a PhD in physics. I don't want to start a physics war, but thank you for treating my cheating there with the utter contempt it so clearly deserved. Just talk us through the physics, if you would.
Well, I'm afraid that your physics PhD Twitter correspondent might be better placed than I am when you hear my qualifications. Oh. But it's a consequence of the atoms within the magnet aligning towards magnetic north.
Right.
And that is not diminished by the. By the size of the object to which they are, to which they're magnetically attracted.
That sounds perfect to me. Qualifications?
Well, my qualifications are that I'm a guitarist. And
yes.
Okay. pickups in electric guitars are use magnets. And
of course they do.
If you have a vintage guitar from like the 50s or the 60s, part of the reason that they sound the way they do is because those magnets have lost a little bit of their pull. So the magnetic force exerted on the strings is slightly less than the guitar that you would get from the factory. So the reason why electric guitars sound the way they do, and they're often said to sound a bit mellower or a bit less spiky, and that's because the magnets are just a little bit worn out, that's all.
Okay. No, well, that is a beautiful answer in all sorts of ways. Have a round of applause.
Thank you.
Thank you, Noah. Ian is in Barnsley. Ian, question or answer?
It's a question.
Carry on.
My question is, why do all, or at least 99% of garden centre trolleys only have two wheels as opposed to four?
99%?
In my experience, yeah. So they have two wheels.
Who do you think you are? Digby Jones? You can't have those sort of statements which are utterly backed up by knowledge or evidence.
I know I'm right.
Yeah. I know I'm right. Yeah. What about German garden centres? How many wheels do German garden... So you mean like the... They're like scales, aren't they? And the wheels are in the middle, and they're like the fulcrum on some scales.
Exactly, yeah. And it either happens that they tip one way or the other, and all the plants fall over, or some of them have those sort of little protrusions to stop that happening, which
yes.
makes them almost impossible to push. And I just wonder why not four wheels? And
this is cut deep, Ian, hasn't it? Over the years.
It really has.
I could tell, mate. I admire your sang-froid in the face of such appalling adversity, but it's possible you're doing it wrong. You realise that?
How so?
Well, I don't know, but if it really is as unfit for purpose as you describe, and I do have some experience of this, then it may be that it's your trolley technique that's at fault, not the wheel-to-trolley ratio.
Quite possibly. All those years of training have been wasted. But yeah.
They'll probably be announcing digital courses soon and pretending that it's a solution to Brexit, mate. So stand by your phone. Let's find out. Why do garden centre trolleys have that? They're like scales. You know, everyone can envision scales. It's true. I like a seesaw. Thank you, Keith. That's why we pay you the silly money. Because they're just like a seesaw. Why? Because there's same in B&Q sometimes. You know the ones you get in B&Q that are seesaws rather than trot? Yeah. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. Ring in and answer the question. 0345 6060973. Anthony's in Cardiff. Anthony, question or answer?
Hiya, James. It's an answer.
Excellent. Go on.
Yeah, it's about the chess.
Where does it come from, then?
Egypt.
Go on.
It actually stems from an ancient Egyptian game called Kness.
Does it?
Yeah, and it's just been modified over the years.
Makes sense, doesn't it? Because, you know, it's a really, really good game. So you can see how it would only take one person to arrive in Cardiff from Cairo. Oh, nice alliteration. It'd teach one person to do it, one of your ancestors, and the next thing you know, everyone in Wales is playing chess.
Yeah.
Or words to that effect. What are your qualifications?
I love the Egyptian history and Egyptian mythology. I watch, read anything about it on telly and in books.
So the chess is not a massive part of your knowledge base. It's the Egyptian connection that led you to this answer.
Yes.
So you don't know about the Lewis chessmen?
No.
Because that fits. I mean, that just means that the Vikings got it via ancient Egypt. Beautiful answer. Thank you. Kness. How do you spell Kness before you go?
I think it's K-E-N-E-S.
Kness. Yeah, love it. Round of applause for Anthony, please. Do you know what I could do if I was a really unpleasant person? I could ask every caller, because I noticed that we're very national today. We're up and down the nations of the United Kingdom. Ask every caller to describe in a sentence precisely what the lockdown restrictions are currently, where they are. That would be very illustrative, but I think we probably made the point powerfully enough in the last hour, and we don't want to pollute mystery hour with, grown-up stuff. Brendan is in Canterbury. Brendan, question or answer?
Hi, James. It's a question.
Carry on.
My six-year-old opened her umbrella inside this morning on the school run, and my instant reaction was, don't do that, it's unlucky.
Yeah.
But I have no idea where has it come from and why do I say it, apart from...
Well, most obviously, you're gonna, it's not a great thing to be doing, is it, waving an umbrella around indoors? You might knock an ornament off the mantelpiece, Brendan, and from that evolves a superstition, perhaps.
Yeah, but for how long?
It's not going to wash with any six-year-olds, that, is it?
No, not this one.
I'd say if you open the umbrella indoors, it makes it more likely to rain outside when you go out.
Well, it was already raining.
No, I know, it's all right. I mean, crikey, it's not science, mate. It's superstition, isn't it? We don't need to analyse it. Why is it unlucky to open an umbrella indoors? Why is anything regarded? Why is it unlucky? My mum used to have a thing about birds, you know, like having a bird in the house, a model bird in the house was bad luck as well, or spilling salt and all that. I mean, who knows? But I like this one. Why is it unlucky to open an umbrella indoors? I think it's probably an old wives' tale invented to stop people opening umbrellas indoors so that they wouldn't knock ornaments off the mantelpiece, so to speak. Chris is in Ealing. Chris, question or answer?
Good afternoon, James. Just a question, please.
Carry on, Chris.
Okay, my daughter this morning was saying that tomorrow she's allowed to go into school non-uniform. So we were talking and the word mufti came up to describe non-uniform. And the question is, where does the word mufti come from to describe non-uniform? I don't understand that word.
I do. I actually know this.
Oh, wow.
I think
we must have had
it before, I think. But anyway, a mufti is a Muslim scholar, a Quranic scholar. And when the British Army was in the 19th century riding roughshod all over the world and helping itself to whatever it wanted, or, depending on where you sit in the culture war, preparing the ground for massive arguments about rice packets and audience sing-alongs at events with no audiences, then they would, when off duty, try to dress like the native sometimes as a sort of a form of integration, if you will, and therefore dressing not in uniform but wearing a robe and perhaps a tasseled hat would be known as going mufti.
Well, that's fantastic. I mean,
isn't it? It's pretty good.
That's brilliant. Yeah. Thank you very much for that. I'll let her know when she gets home today. That's great.
So you have to send her to school tomorrow in Middle Eastern robes.
And I think that might surprise a few people.
It might, but she'll be the winner.
She will
be the winner. Chris, thank you very much. Round of applause for me. Chris to Chris. This one's in Kingslear in Hampshire. Chris, question or answer?
Hi, James. Here's a question.
Carry on.
Why does hair lose its colour when you age?
Are you after the science or the epic unfairness of it?
More the science.
It's got to be the science, hasn't it? Because the epic unfairness is a question for the ages. We could be asking why your hair falls out and some people's
exactly.
doesn't. Do you know, Nick Ferrari's producer, Dave, has got hair that you wouldn't believe. It's like a personal affront to all of us who are a little bit thin on top, Chris. He's got the thickest, most luxuriant, lovely hair you could ever imagine in your life.
So it's got absolutely nothing to do with hair loss. So that's what I just think. I mean, going silver or going white is usually associated with being old, but
yes.
what is it in the hair?
Must be running out or depleting, mustn't it? But we will.
What's to stop a 9-year-old having white hair, for example?
It does happen occasionally. I know there is. I don't think it's an old wives' tale to say that sometimes your hair does go white or grey overnight when you've had a massive shock. I think there have been recorded cases almost of that. But let's find out what's happening. Why does your hair lose its colour, go grey or white? As you age. And as I ask that question, I do actually find myself wondering why some of us go grey while some of us do go white. You know, it's a sort of aesthetic distinction, isn't it? Can we squeeze in one more? Verity is in Brighton. Verity, question or answer?
Hi, James. How are you doing?
Very well, indeed.
Good. It's just a quick steward's inquiry.
I'll be the judge of that. Thank you very much.
OK, it's slightly pedantic, so... The question about chess was, what's the origin of the modern game of chess?
Yes.
And so the caller was absolutely right. Chess goes back about 1,500 years, possibly longer. But the modern game of chess, there's a distinct change that happened, which I believe was in goes back to the Spanish development in the game.
Really?
Around the Middle Ages. So
well, hang on, that's a big... That's very middle. Go on.
So I can tell you what the development is.
Yes, if you would.
It's because the queen and the bishop become much more powerful pieces in the game. And this is a huge change. So, like, now the queen can move anywhere on the board in the modern game of chess, and the bishops can move in diagonals.
Really?
From one end to the other. That's what we now... called Queen's Chess, and
I think
it was actually called at some point it was called something like Mad Queen's Chess.
So they've made it. It's a bit like changing the offside rule in football to try and make it more exciting. What are your qualifications?
My qualifications are that at the beginning of lockdown, I got the virus and I was very tired all the time, and I started sitting and playing chess against strangers on the internet. I then bought a book, which is really good, called The History of Chess in 50 Moves.
Oh, all right. This is fairly strong qualifications, Verity.
And it was just great, and I've just become obsessed with chess.
But the Lewis chess pieces, which were found in the 19th century, date back to the 12th or 13th, but that doesn't hold your boat below the waterline, because you would say,
they were still playing chess,
but the queen didn't have as much power then as it does, she does now. And you could use the same pieces. The game hasn't changed at all, just like football. They changed the offside rule. Nothing changes. You don't need any new equipment.
Slightly pedantic.
Oh, well played.
It's
an improvement on the original answer, but we're certainly not withdrawing the Kness round of applause. We're just giving you this one, Verity.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. 12:31 is the time. Bill Overton is here with your headline.
Mystery Hour with James O'Brien. This is LBC.
12:35 is the time. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC, where Mystery Hour continues. Questions that still need answers. Why does our hair go grey? That's the only one I've got left. Keith, any advance on that? Why does hair change colour as we get older? Have we got any other? I don't think we have we? I think we're doing all right there. Well done. Oh, garden centre trolleys, of course. We're not exactly covering ourselves with glory here. It's because we're so distracted by the national pageant at the moment. The questions in the House of Commons a moment ago about that thing I mentioned to you earlier about chemicals. So we have today news that UK car... No, I won't spoil it. I'm not going to spoil a mystery hour with the B word, but I will, before close of play today, give you that news about chemicals, another £1 billion that we've spaffed up the wall, so to speak, to coin a phrase. Back to mystery hour. We need to know why it's... bad luck to open an umbrella indoors. We need to know why garden centre trolleys and indeed some DIY stores are made like seesaws, which doesn't seem to be very good for usefulness, and we need to know why our hair loses its colour as we get older. Gavin's in Jersey. Gavin, question or answer?
Good afternoon, James. It is a question, please.
Carry on.
My question is, why are essential oils called essential when we don't realistically need them?
When they're not essential. So you go, well, yeah. I've got perfectly well through life without having any bergamot oil. How on earth can you describe it as an essential oil? Is it because it can't be distilled down any further?
Not convinced.
So if you, well, okay, I'll try again. What is the noun from which the adjective essential derives?
Not sure.
I would go with essence.
Okay.
If it's essence, it's not a compound. It is just what it is. It's like an elemental oil. So an essential oil is an oil that doesn't...
Why didn't they call it an elemental oil then?
Because it's an essence, not an element.
Okay.
I've done it, haven't I? This is my second science question. Just you wait there and have a think about whether or not I deserve a round of applause. I've got a special request from the producer. No more calls about chess, please. No more calls about chess. We are up to our eyeballs with calls about chess and are happy with the answers that we currently have. No more calls about chess. Chess. Checkmate. Gavin, do you think that was clear enough?
On chess or the essential oils?
On the chess.
Yeah, I think you've got it there, yeah.
Right, and the essential oils?
Not convinced.
Oh, come on, man. It's an essence. Essence. Essence can't be distilled down any further. It can't. So you've got a pot of stuff and you split it into all the different constituents. And when you've got the constituent unsplittable, it's an essence. And if it's an oil, it is therefore an essential oil. An oil of essence. No?
There must be an essential oil special somewhere in the details.
Right, I can tell you're one of them, aren't you? There's always one, Gavin. Always one. Well, I'm not having it. That's right. I'll find you someone. I'll find you a flipping aromatherapist. Will you be happy then?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, all right. Any aromatherapists out there? Why is essential oil called essential? Good work, Gavin. Matt's in Leeds. Matt.
Well, hi, James. How's it going?
I'm pretty good. Do you know whether Andrea was allowed to visit her son in Leeds to watch him go kayaking a couple of days ago?
I don't. You're not allowed to mix with other households unless they're part of your bubble. So if she didn't go round to his house, then I think it's fine.
Then that's why she went kayaking.
I think that's what
that is. Do you know what this is? This is public service broadcasting live on the radio.
You're advised not to do it, but it's not strictly against the law. I think the only thing against the law is meeting in households or gardens.
I do too. Great work. Question or answer?
It's a question.
Yours.
Cool. So, yeah, it's basically when we're like travelling somewhere, why do we say we went in the car, but we'd say we went on the bus or on the train? Like, what's the difference? Why do we use different words for those, even though they're sort of the same, if that makes sense?
No, it does. It does make sense. I mean, there may not be an answer. It may just be a sort of habit of usage, mightn't it? I suppose with a bus or a train, you could think of it as a constantly circulating route, couldn't you? Onto which you hop, and you will always go in the same route, whereas in a car, you've got autonomy and independence.
True, but even if you're not the person driving it, I don't know. I feel like you would. Then I don't know if you'd say you went on the plane or in. I don't know.
On.
But yeah, I don't know what the.
You go on a plane, don't you? You go on a plane. Get on the plane. Get in the back of the van. Get on the plane. Get in the back of the van. That's twice today. Yeah, Whitnell and I.
I don't know what the.
No, I don't either. I'd be amazed if we get an answer, but I'm going to ask because I'd love to know if there is one out there.
Yeah. Well, it's who knows, but
nice
there you
one.
Go.
You're on. I like it. Why do we get in our car, but get on the bus? Why are essential oils called essential? Why are garden centre trolleys made like seesaws? And why is it bad luck to open an umbrella indoors? And finally, why does our hair lose its colour as we age? Ihanthi, have I said that correctly? Is in Lewisham. Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Did I say your name correctly?
My name is Yanti.
Yanti, there we go. I got there, James.
I just want to ask, why is it a tradition for us to bring grapes to visit people who's poorly, either in a hospital or at home?
Well, the reason is, Yanti, that a grape...
The first thing come to your mind is to buy grapes.
Yes, because you're taking fruit to someone who's poorly, because vitamins and fruit are considered to be healthy, right?
Yeah, but why grapes come to our mind first?
Do you mind? I'm coming to that, Yanti. Would you just give me a chance? So if you were to take an apple, right?
Yeah.
And you wanted to have a bit of fruit, you'd take a bite out of your apple, and what would happen?
No. Yes, the apple, you won't finish it, isn't it? Just take a bite. Correct.
Yeah. If you had a melon and you just wanted a little bit of fruit, what would happen to your melon?
Right. I got you. But can I tell you, I think my husband's opinion is that grapes, from the Latin, vital, is life, isn't it?
Yes. Vitae in Latin is life. And what is Latin for grape?
I don't know.
Well, what's your husband talking about then?
I don't know. Vine. I suppose it's to do with the vine. Because they're crawling about, isn't it, the vine?
I don't know that would, I think maybe that's sort of a reflection of their health-giving qualities, but I think that it's a bit like buying a packet of sweets instead of an enormous stick of rock. It's so that... that's rather good, that. It's so that you can have a little bit of fruit without the rest of the fruit going off. Whereas if you were to...
I think it makes sense, doesn't it?
If you peeled an orange, you don't have an unpeeled orange rotting on your bedside table or a half-eaten apple or, a munched melon. Whereas with grapes, whether you've eaten 10 or one, the fundamental integrity of the bunch of grapes remains and the freshness of each individual grape remains intact for the longest amount of time while the grapes remain on your hospital bedside table.
Yes, but why it comes to our mind automatically, we think of grapes. I want to know why.
Well, because someone worked out it's good to have fruit on your hospital bedside table. And then they said, what would be the best fruit to have? And then they worked out, for the reasons that we've just explored together, that it would be grapes, I think.
Well, I think I'll a little bit agree with you, but... Why grapes?
Vitis vinifera is the Latin, but I don't. Vitis, vine of life. Yeah, but, well, all right. I mean, I can put it on the board, but I'm not going to lie to you, Yanti. I was rather proud of my answer, and I feel that you've rather looked down your nose at it.
No. But yes. I agree with you.
Oh, okay.
I just want to know why grapes.
Well, I think I've told you, because it's the only way in which you can get manageable portions of fruity goodness with a minimal rot rate on your hospital bedside table.
Okay, point taken.
Thank you. Round of applause for me. Just don't ask me about Lucozade. It's 12:45.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
It's 12:48, and things I need to remember before we clock off for the day. I'm going to recommend a book to you. I don't do it very often, but when I do it because the author deserves a boost. So I wouldn't recommend a kind of Robert Galbraith book, because I don't think that author does need a boost. I think recommend Richard Osman's. He sold 200,000 copies in 4 weeks of his magnificent Thursday Murder Club, so he certainly didn't need any help from me. But if you like espionage thrillers, if you like a bit of John le Carré or Mick Herron more recently, then there's an author called Charles Cumming, who you probably already know if you are a fan of espionage thrillers. But he's got a new one out called Box 88, and it's absolutely brilliant. So if you're looking for a book to get lost in for a few days, then Box 88 by Charles Cumming is the book that you want. And do you know one of the most brilliant things about it? Is that quite early on in the story, right, the hero gets in a taxi, and the taxi driver is listening to the radio. And guess who's on the radio? That suspense, that is. You're going to have to buy the book to find out. Guess who? Seriously, though. Guess. Who? No, I'm not going to tell you. Tina's in Greenford. Tina, question or answer?
It's an answer.
Carry on, Tina.
So, the reason why he loses colour is as you get older, you lose melanin in your hair follicles. Now, that loses the colour in your hair, but in regards to why it looks grey is, well, hair doesn't actually, it appears grey. So, for example, I've got dark hair. When I start losing colour in the next decade or so, it's going to appear grey because, and black hair, and from a distance, it does appear grey. But it won't be
white
hair.
No, I hear you. I only needed the first bit. It's just a depletion of melanin over the years that causes it. Qualifications?
I did a hairdressing course at college 17 years ago.
17 years ago. Are we sure the science? Well, yeah. Are we sure the science hasn't changed since then, Tina? You know how these things work.
It was at college, and they actually taught us the actual science.
Yeah, and you've been following it ever since.
Not really. I'm in financial services. Oh. I just can't stand touching people's hair.
That was an odd. It was an odd course to do then. In that case, or did the disdain for other people's hair emerge after you'd qualified as a hairdresser?
In a nutshell, yes. I was forced into it by my mum. She said, "Make something of your life. Go on, here you go. Do a course in hairdressing." I went, "Oh, go on then."
And how does she feel now? You're a financial services consultant.
I should always be disappointed.
Well, I think there's a recurring theme here, Tina, and I think you need to, you know, cut the toxicity out of your life and be proud of who you are.
Oh, thank you.
You're very welcome. Round of applause for Tina. I don't know about you, Tina, but I wasn't expecting that to go quite off in the direction that it did.
Don't even know what to say.
Lovely laugh. Sam's in Sutton. Sam, question or answer?
Hello?
Sam, how'd you get on with your mum?
Absolutely fine in the end.
Really? It took
am
a
I
while?
On?
Yeah. What? Yes.
Sorry, I'm just walking the dog and I'm surprised I got through.
That's okay, you're here. Loud and clear. I mean, you shouldn't be that surprised given that you rang 03456060973 and offered to contribute to the programme, but, you know, we are where we are. What have you got for me?
It's so exciting. I've got an answer.
Yes.
So, to the trolleys having hinges, Jeffrey, wait. Sorry, I'm just talking.
That's all right. Jesse, wait. Wait, Jesse. Yeah. Carry on, Sam.
Jeffrey's a good boy.
Jeffrey, sorry.
The trolleys have hinges, because I wondered about this for years and years and years.
Yes.
I felt really stupid when I heard the answer.
Okay, go on.
It's basically so that they can slot into each other. So they have a hinge at the front, and they can slot into each other and sort of be stacked in a smaller space.
Otherwise, is it that simple? Otherwise, you'd need to have a trolley-sized space for every trolley, whereas this way you can, in the way that you can with supermarket trolleys, because of the way they're made, you can insert them into each other. You couldn't do that with the big, flat, wagony trolleys.
Exactly, and I felt really stupid because...
Well, you shouldn't Sam.
I'd wondered about it for years and years. I run a little removal company. We use them every day.
It makes sense. I think that makes sense. I'm going to give you the round of applause. I mean, qualifications, you use them. Therefore, you've asked the questions a few times.
Awesome. Thank you.
No, well done.
Woo!
That's all right. Careful, Sam. Don't do that. Otherwise, Jeffrey's going to get overexcited.
He's in the park, so he's...
He's off the lead, is he?
Yeah, he's catching the 50.
Okay, a nice name. Who's he named after, or is it just a name you like?
Jeffrey is, he just looked like a Jeffrey. I don't know.
Oh, fair enough. That's fine. 12:53 is the time. 03456060973 is the number. I don't know why I'm saying that. It's like a verbal tick now. There's no chance of getting through. Fan lines have been chocker since 10 o'clock, which means I should probably apologise for not talking to anybody else between 10 and 11. I'll make up for it tomorrow. Ed's in Kensington. Ed, question or answer?
It's an answer.
Carry on.
It's speculation, really, but it's to do with planes, trains and automobiles.
Oh, no, that's all right, then. That's fine. I think we're all in the realms of speculation on that one. What have you got?
Yeah. Well, my theory is that when planes and trains and buses were first designed, they didn't have roofs, so you were open to the elements.
Planes?
So you were on them rather than in them.
Planes didn't have
roofs. Whereas
with a car... Oh, no, they didn't, did they? Yeah.
I believe... The early prototypes of cars all had roofs, possible retractable, but I think you were in a car and you were on a plane, on a bus, on a train. So that's all
works
I've got.
A lot
that's
it works a lot better if we leave planes out of it, doesn't it? Although I think you're right. I think Wilbur and Orville...
Well, I'm thinking of First World War planes were open to the elements. You think you've got
good.
The guy in the cockpit, he's got nothing above him. He hasn't got a roof, has he?
No.
He might have put a bit of glass over it sometimes.
Over the years. Well played. Just looking for some flaws in your theory, because obviously in the realms of speculation, we can't go definitive. I've got plenty of time. It's 12:54, mate. I've done this before. I could strike.
Yeah, fair enough. I haven't.
Then cars, I thought my early images of cars were open.
Well, I'm thinking they had retractable roofs.
Or the motorised equivalent of the hansom carriage would have a roof, wouldn't it? Because obviously
a retractable one,
elements.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a round of applause with the caveat.
Thank you.
With the caveat, Ed, that obviously this is open to a steward's inquiry from someone
of course,
qualifications.
I realized that, but I wanted to get an answer on the board before 1 o'clock.
Yeah, you've played a blinder. Round of applause for Ed. Great work, mate.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Tim's in Folkestone. Tim, question or answer?
I have a question.
Carry on.
Why is the crane fly known as the daddy long legs? What's the significance of the daddy as opposed to just being called long legs?
Because you could work out the long legs bit without too much help.
Indeed, yeah. Indeed. But the daddy, why daddy long legs? I mean, there are female crane flies that are also known as daddy long legs. So what's the relevance of that?
Ah, I like it. It's a good daddy long legs. So it sounds nice, but that's not going to be it, is it? Okay.
The most annoying creatures on the planet, I do believe, especially at this time of year.
Don't be ridiculous. Okay, how can they possibly be that? Okay. Well, origins of daddy long legs. We've done that in and on. So we need answers. It's a bit rubbish this week. We need the essential oils answer. We need the umbrella indoors. Oh, no, it's not. We're doing fine. I don't think the umbrella indoors thing was going to get an answer, but why are essential oils called essential oils? There's an open goal there for somebody. I think I provided the answer. But our friend in Jersey was just not having it. He was one of them. He wasn't prepared to accept my brilliance and wanted somebody who is ostensibly more qualified than me to step up to the breach and provide the answer. But if you know the daddy long legs thing, then you've got about 2.5 minutes to get on air and fill your boots with some juicy applause. I don't want any more stewards inquiries on the trolleys, I don't think, or indeed on the chess. Unless you know for certain, because you manufacture the trolleys, unless you manufacture them, then I'll take it. But that is it. We're back to Mo, but no. It is coming up to 12:57. And if you want to answer any of these questions, then you can. There's someone on line one. I've got no idea who. What would you like to say? Hello? Derek.
Oh, hello, James.
Hello,
it's Derek.
Hello,
yeah.
Mate. How are you?
I'm not bad, thanks. And you?
Yeah, mustn't grumble. You know, we've all got our crosses to bear. What's on your mind? Question
sure
or
do.
Answer?
Yeah. It's an answer about the going in a car.
Oh, yeah.
A long time ago, obviously, you just had horses, so you would have been going on for transport, going on a horse.
On a horse, yeah.
Going on a cart.
On a cart, in a car.
When
a
the car. Cars were made, they were all open, so you would have been going on the car.
Yeah, that's right.
When they had roofs, you were going in a car.
Yeah. But buses have got roofs now, and you still go on a bus.
I don't know what you would have said. I'll burn around at that time.
Nor do I. No, I know, but that's the point, isn't it? And I like your thinking, but it doesn't translate from your car-based analysis to your bus-based analysis as smoothly as we would like, Derek, does it?
Well, but is there any other answer?
Well,
any
that's other philosophy, mate. Answer. We haven't got time for that. That's philosophy. That is borderline religion. Sheila Fogarty's here. She might well go for the ontological angle.
Form versus dynamism. Yeah.
Give Derek a round of applause. He's been a lovely bloke.
Thank you very much, James.
Thank you very much. And finally, Oscar, who apparently is in Mobile in Texas. Oscar, what would you like to say?
Oh, hi, James. So I've got an answer to your umbrella question.
Carry on.
So back in ancient Egypt, umbrellas were used protect...
Go on.
To protect pharaohs and the nobility.
People like parasols.
So, it was seen as an insult by the sun god Ra stand underneath it, either in the shade or indoors, anywhere, basically.
Qualifications?
A history graduate.
Oh, that's strong, mate. I wish I could see you, because if you're yanking my chain, I could tell, because I've got, like, laser eyes for people misleading me. That's why I got Farage's number so quickly. Okay, I know, right. Have we got any hosannas or anything like that? No, that's fair. Get a round of applause at least for Oscar. I wish we don't have an award for the quality of the answer, do we? We've only got awards for the quality of the qualifications. Something we might look to. Oscar, I'm very proud of you, mate. Well done. Has your history degree ever come in useful before?
Just at pub quizzes.
There you go. It is now 12:59. That's it from me for another day. We'll do it all again tomorrow morning from 10. Here is Sheila Fogarty.
Thank you very much, James. James O'Brien. now, Liverpool, the city and the city region, the area around it, Warrington, Hartlepool and Middlesbrough have all gone into further measures. We use the word lockdown, I think, a bit too loosely about these things, but they've gone into further stricter measures for sure about mixing. Social mixing, that is, between households. Now, there are exemptions, and I'm going to go through those exemptions because I think it's important that we make things as clear as we possibly can. We have a reporter in Hartlepool and one in Liverpool to talk us through the changes and what the implications of those changes are. We'll also hear from local politicians in the area as well. We'll talk about testing after two, after the former health secretary said we need much, much more testing in staffing the NHS, which I've been saying for months.
On your radio, on Global Player, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.